This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Last night, you obviously brought up the comment about hating to lose more than you liking to win. Obviously, everybody loses in high school, college, or along the way. How does losing affect you? How do you deal with it? Are you a sore loser? Are you tough to be around? What's that like?
I think just learn from it. You know, I think just learn from the mistakes, and you know, I think nobody likes losing. So just find a way to, you know, kind of learn from it and kind of look myself in the mirror and see what I need to do better and how can I help this football team.
Drake May yesterday on WEEI Afternoons with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart. They come your way at 2 o'clock here today on WEEI. It's Jones and Keefe, high noon on a Tuesday. We already did our tiers, Thanksgiving food, which Keefe tweeted out at Keefe21. You can check that out on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Take it with you wherever you go this holiday season. We also have Kiefer Madness on the way about 45 minutes from now. Plus, it's a Tommy Tuesday. Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston joins us right now on Jones and Keefe. He's brought to you by D'Angelo Sandwiches, New England Sandwich Shop, and the Sandwich Shop of Jones and Keefe every Tuesday. A bunch of Thanksgiving subs already dropped off.
Oh, polish that off.
Yours is all gone. I'm about halfway through mine over here working on it. Uh-huh. FlexCar. Save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com. And by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, if you're hearing this, chances are you're less than 20 minutes away from the closest Awaken 180. A once-a-week lunch break, a quick stop on the way from work, minutes away from proven weekly weight loss at Awaken180WeightLoss.com. Tommy Curran, what's up?
Good afternoon, boys. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving week.
Oh, yes, you happy as Thanksgiving well. To you as well. What's your must-have at Thanksgiving, Tom? What is it?
You know, I really like a pumpkin pie with a dollop of whipped cream.
Sure. Not Cool Whip. Whipped cream.
And I'm a big stuffing guy.
Yes.
Not as big on the turkey, but stuffing and the gravy. Drizzled gravy. No celery in my stuffing, please. No celery, please. Thank you.
That seems like a fair request. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Tom, what do you think of the Patriots' performance against the Dolphins that second quarter, perhaps the worst quarter of the entire season?
Yeah, I wrote a column and said that it was soup to nuts incompetence that really undid the 4 weeks of semi-encouraging progress that had been made. And that's what's unfortunate about it, I think, is, you know, the Jacksonville game was a nadir, and this really returned right to where the Jacksonville game was, perhaps with a little less physical ineptitude. That Jacksonville game, they just got to run down their faces. This game just featured too many mental mistakes, focus mistakes, pre-snap penalties, communication mistakes, stuff that you really hoped if they were desiring to make the progress where they wanted to be a team that was smart, tough, and disciplined, they would be able to excise from their game, especially, you know, back in the division for the first time in a little while against a team that should be a peer if you are trying to get better. So it was very, very discouraging, I think.
Tommy Curran's latest is up now at NBC Sports Boston. Patriots ineptitude at every level signals need for greater urgency. He was citing some of that there. You also cited in the column, Tom, between May, another top five pick, and a huge amount of cap space, there's absolutely a way for the franchise to get back to dry land. How soon do you expect them to be competitive again? Define that how you want. How soon do you think that'll be?
How soon do I think it'll be? I can't predict. I'd have to see what they do
Let me rephrase. How soon would be acceptable?
Next year. They should be competitive next year. They should go from being whatever they're going to be. And it's a tough five-game finish that they have here, except for the Colts. They're probably going to finish with 3 or 4 wins. You have to be 7, 8, 9 wins next year. You have to be signaling competency and be the tough out that Gerard Mayo said that he wanted his team to be. You have to be potent on defense far, far, far greater than you are now. And I guess that's what troubles me about where they are is I felt the cornerback and edge were need positions going into this draft. You know, Marcus Jones and Jonathan Jones are fine, but they are physical mismatches at times against bigger receivers. So I think they needed another boundary corner. They definitely needed another edge rusher even prior to Matthew Judon leaving. So you add those two positions to offensive tackle and wide receiver, and you have the four positions that, aside from quarterback, are the most coveted and highly paid in the league. And they need to staff all four of those positions. So that's why I say they need extreme urgency to address these things, because it's not year one of a rebuild. It's year five of a rebuild. So they need to be more proactive than they have been, instead of just this year has basically, and you guys would agree with this, and we've talked about it, we're just going to roll it out there and see how it looks, and then we'll make some decisions afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay, they better be hard decisions swiftly made.
What do you think of the, or what is the status of DeMarcus Covington? I feel like throughout the year, you know, we talk about Mayo every day. We talk about Wolf a good amount. Van Pelt, clearly, with, you know, him working closely with Drake May. The defense hasn't been very good. You know, Tua is another one of these quarterbacks in a long line this season that had another, you know, great career high type of day. Covington's name doesn't get brought up a ton. What do you think his sort of status is here now and going forward?
First of all, I think the reason he wasn't brought up so frequently was, you know, the absence of Peppers, Barmore, and Bentley for so long was cited as a reason that, of course, he's going to be backsliding in the removal of Judon. So there was, to me at least, I would say, well, what do you want? It's going to look that way. But when you see the communication issues and when you see how overmatched they are and the lack of innovation during games, for instance, I still think one of the worst ideas I've seen coaching-wise this year was an all-out blitz on Matthew Stafford when you're down 14-10 on the first possession of the second half. He's a 16-year veteran, and you've already seen this movie with Geno Smith and DK Metcalf in week two. What did you think was going to happen? What was the reward for the risk that you were going to put out there? Because the risk was a touchdown, which they got. So I think as the season has gone along, there's more focus has switched to Covington because of the nature of the mistakes. They're not physical mistakes. They play hard. They're just confused. And if they're confused, you have to ask, well, are they prepared adequately? And why are they not able to switch as adeptly? And I think the Steve Belichick and Gerard Mayo now spending less time, obviously, with the defense because he's more of the CEO, and obviously not having Bill there to oversee or at least tinker, and Bill spent more time on offense the last couple of years because Steve and Gerard would have it locked down. So I think Covington was not in a great spot, but it is what it is. You're not in a great spot. You can't just say, well, what can you do? You have to do something.
Time now for Tommy Curran's Flex of the Game. It's presented by FlexCar. You can ditch the dealership and save thousands with FlexCar. What's your Flex of the Game this week, Tom?
Well, it's a tough one. I'm going to flex to you're going against the quarterback who you should be able to have your way with to an extent with Anthony Richardson. You should be able to do with him, perhaps, to a degree, what you did with Caleb Williams. What defense will Covington call upon, and what kind of improvement will you see? We'll see whether or not Jabril Peppers is on the field. I honestly, and we've talked about this as well, I thought he was the best player on the team the last 2 years. The most productive, brought the most attitude and leadership on the defense. If he is on the field this week, and we do not know, and we'll start to see on the injury reports his participation level, but if he's on the field, does he help to make a difference for them?
You know, Tom, with 5 games left to play, should they be overall more aggressive offensively? I know the first drive, this isn't the most egregious example of it, but 4th and 1, you'd already been, you know, a penalty on the drive. It's 4th and 1 at around your own 40-yard line. Do you maybe consider going for that there? Knowing that your defense isn't great, knowing that you're going up against a team that's probably going to score some points. We've talked about it, you know, at the end of the Tennessee game and other times, but it just feels like the wins might not be there. You're not a playoff team. Does it do more for the team to be aggressive and allow your rookie quarterback to try to get a yard or 2 yards in certain circumstances throughout the game?
In a vacuum, that decision is not offensive. I agree with you. But I spent last week saying that, and using Dan Campbell as an example, their default move, the Detroit Lions, was to be aggressive at every turn. We have anything confronting us, said the 2022 Lions, and we are in attack mode. And the Patriots want to be a game plan team. They want to be versatile. Well, if you want to be a game plan team and switch from this type of scheme to that type of scheme to this set of decision making. You have to be good enough to toggle back and forth between them. You know, we all remember Bill Parcells and to a degree Bill Belichick. They would be stubborn about mindset. And I think that the Patriots need to become have a default setting. And I don't know what their default setting is. Is it aggressive? Is it conservative? I just don't think you can lick your finger and check the wind before every decision. You have to have a default. And I think that you're exactly right. When you're not a good team, you should go for it if you have a coin flip situation against Tennessee to win the game. Because, yeah, maybe the offense is tired, but the defense was chasing for 12 seconds. Mm-hmm. Run a play. Try and get the win. You need a win. So I fully agree with you on the idea that they should have a default aggressive approach. Yeah. Offensively right now.
Well, we saw Harbaugh do it a couple of times last night on Monday Night Football, including fourth and one from his own 16. So other coaches are doing it.
Yeah.
Will Mayo do that? I want to circle back to Jabril Peppers. Do you think, if you had to guess, do you think he plays this weekend?
I couldn't even make a guess, honestly. We'll have to wait and see because I don't know. He hasn't been in the building.
Do you think he should? Do you think he should play? Maybe I should ask it that way. Do you think he should play?
If he's physically ready to play, sure. I mean, I'm not into the level of moral decision making. That's up to them. If they say and they're comfortable with him playing, then and he's been removed from the NFL's exempt list, then sure. Do you?
I mean, I would want to have some real strong evidence to make sure he's exonerated because they're still moving forward with the trial and the accusations were pretty heinous. So I don't know what they have for information and I don't know any details about what's going on with his trial. But yeah, I would be cautious.
Yeah, I would be too. So one would presume with a $6 billion team in the most visible sport, certainly in America, certainly on the planet to a degree right there with soccer, that you would want to tread carefully when making any decisions about putting a player on the field who may have something looming over them. So you want to have every assurance that you're not going to be completely embarrassed if something comes out by now, but it's been 8 weeks. So one would presume that they somehow feel comfortable with it and they've reconciled themselves to it. So not knowing the inner workings on it, I would defer to their decision-making while reserving the opportunity to go, well, what would you put him on the field for if you didn't know that?
You know, one of the stories that came out of the game on Sunday, Mark Daniels and others were reporting that, you know, they just got worked by the Dolphins. And then in the locker room afterwards, guys were laughing, guys were smiling. Is that a big deal at all, or is that sort of like more of an old school mentality? We're like, oh, you gotta really wear your losses hard. Like, where do you come down on that?
I wasn't there. I don't know if, you know, absent silly string and water balloons, if guys are laughing a little bit after the game, if there's a radio on and guys are really laughing and towel snapping, I think that would be something that would be jarring. But the guys who were in there have been in a lot of locker rooms. They found it noteworthy enough to mention.
Right.
But again, are they playing hard? Are they giving an effort on the field? Are they quitting on the field and then playing grab ass in the locker room afterwards? I didn't see indications that they stopped playing on the field. So I don't know the context of the laughing and the joking because I wasn't there. I don't think it's a hanging sin.
How do you feel about the turnovers with Drake May? He was asked on WEEI afternoons yesterday if they're becoming a problem. He said he didn't feel that they were. He needs to clean them up, but he didn't feel they were a problem. Do you think they're becoming a problem for Drake May?
You know, I said this after the game the other day. That's the kind of game that we were talking about when saying, well, you don't want him out there for that because it could lead to regression. And I still think he played pretty well overall. But when you have jailbreaks defensively going after your young quarterback and his decision-making may at times be compromised, not just the physical aspect, but the decision-making, that's where you can start to undo some of the good that you did. So it's one game. As Brian Hoyer said in the postgame with us, you know, if you get to 3 or 4 weeks of it, that's an issue. And I would think that if you're losing your fundamentals and your decision-making, the turnovers would follow. So, yeah, they're worth monitoring in the context of how does each one come. And the turnovers this past weekend were more jaw-dropping and irritating, I think, given, you know, and he acknowledged that too, trying to do a swim move around an on-rushing defensive lineman when probably just take the sack is a good example of a panic play.
Okay, he's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joins us every Tuesday on a Tommy Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. You can check out his latest at NBC Sports Boston, Patriots Ineptitude at Every Level signals the need for greater urgency. He's got quick slants tonight. He'll be on WEEI Afternoons later in the week. Curran, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, Tommy Curran.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Joining us here. Oh, I should have said, you know what? Yeah. Shame on me for not saying that. We did the Thanksgiving
talk
right
with
in the front.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
We did. So shame on
you. What are you thankful for?
Happy Thanksgiving, yeah. Tom.